Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Take that stupid hat off. You're a bunch of clowns.
The chaos unfolding as closing arguments got underway in court.
What is happening?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
An historic day today, Vince, in New York. Jury deliberations set to kick off later today in former President Donald Trump's historic hush money trial. 12 New Yorkers will decide the fate of the former president. They'll get the case later on. Now, this came after a marathon day on Tuesday of closing arguments.
Trump's attorney, Todd Blanche, telling jurors they cannot convict Trump based on testimony from the prosecution's key witness, Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen. Blanche called Cohen the greatest liar of all time, the MVP of liars, and said Cohen is bent on revenge with an axe to grind. Blanche telling the jury this isn't a referendum of your views on President Trump. This is a very easy and quick not guilty verdict.
That's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. So then the prosecutors went, and the prosecution said, hey, look, we didn't pick this guy out of a witness store. He wouldn't be the one we'd buy. He's just the guy that we had. And then they went from there.
In his final pitch to the jury, which took nearly 5 hours, prosecutor Josh Steinglass downplayed Cohen's role in the case, characterizing Cohen as nothing more than a tour guide through a mountain of evidence. Steinglass argued Trump choreographed a conspiracy and a cover-up in a brazen attempt to pull the wool over voters' eyes. Trump is charged with falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment to Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election, so voters would never know about their affair, which Trump denies.
So that was inside the courtroom on Tuesday. Outside, circus.
Circus town.
Including a well-known actor.
Outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan yesterday, the scene was described by one legal expert as pandemonium.
America!
Trump supporters wearing horns, yes, and painted faces, and actor Robert De Niro in a shouting match with hecklers.
Take that stupid hat off. Take that stupid hat off. You're a bunch of clowns.
The chaos unfolding as closing arguments got underway in court.
What is happening?
Why is Robert De Niro?
So De Niro held a news conference. Now,
about what?
It's on behalf of the Biden campaign to suggest that, to criticize the former president who was in court at the time. And then the supporters and De Niro clashed and yelled at each other. A lot of stuff I can't play for you on the radio.
You think that's one of those where, okay, so the campaign sends him out there as a surrogate. He's a big name, whatever. And then they're watching it unfold on TV and there's Bobby De Niro swearing at guys and dropping F-bombs and whatever. Like,
just get back in your car. Just get back in your car.
That's not what we wanted.
Please,
or maybe
leave.
It is.
So the jury gets it likely later today because they have instructions first.
The jury has several options today. They have the option of convicting Trump on all the counts, acquitting him of all of those counts, or delivering a mixed verdict in which he is found guilty of some charges but not others. And the final option, of course, is a hung jury if they don't come to a decision in that, in which the judge could declare a mistrial.
ABC's Lindsay Tuckman there. And she also noted that it doesn't mean that if he is convicted that he's going to see any possible jail time. And the judge basically said, hey, there's nothing to suggest that for sure prison time or a sentence of prison time would even come down. So no matter what the outcome, doesn't mean anything really in the next several months.
Who's going to turn up outside court today?
Time will tell.
7:15, Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Stop me if you've heard this before. A Brewers pitcher hurt.
Stop.
Oh, man, you thought the Brewers were going to steal this one. They were down 1-0. They were no hit until the eighth inning, but Willie Adames comes up in the bottom of the ninth with one man on.
One ball, two strikes, and two outs. Fans on their feet. Here's the pitch. Line drive, base hit down the left field line. We're tied as Adames digs for second. The throw there in time.
Yeah, Adames would be called out at second, even though he tied the game. Now, replay seemed to indicate he was safe, but You know how that goes for some reason. Anyway, they go into extras, and you almost wish they wouldn't have gone into extras, because in the 10th, it was rough. Mike Tutman of the Cubs, lines went off of Trevor McGill's arm, and he goes down. The Cubs would score, then they would score more. They'd go on to win 6-3. And what about Trevor McGill's arm? Skip?
How's McGill doing?
It's not fractured.
Is that the extent of what you can know at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he got drilled pretty hard. He's going to be good and sore for a while.
So I imagine we'll learn more today about what this will mean for the closer. Yeah,
good and sore better than broken,
yeah,
but still not great.
Right. These two teams, man, they're pitching. Oh, boy. If they end up playing in the postseason with this, man, we got another good one tonight. Two good pitchers again tonight. Brewers got Bryce Wilson on the mound. The Cubs have their star Chinese imports, Shota Imanaga. Lights out game, 6:10 pregame, 6:40 first pitch right here on WTMJ.
Milwaukee Admirals open the conference finals and the Calder Cup playoffs tonight. It's a best of seven series now against the Coachella Valley Firebirds. And in case you were wondering whether the ads are just happy to be here, here's head coach Carl Taylor.
We're here to win. We're here to win the whole championship. That's our goal. We're not afraid to state it or talk about it. Doesn't mean we're going to, but if you're going to knock us out, you're going to get. We're going to play with our foot on the gas the whole time. Make sure we leave that arena with nothing left.
Yeah, foot on the gas there, coach. Old-time hockey Eddie Shore. Ads play two on the road tonight and Friday. Then back home for three, if necessary, next week in Milwaukee. This is California, so Pacific time. Puck drops at 9 o'clock Central tonight.
Coming up, how do you fix the movies?
Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 7:19.
Did you see Furiosa, the Mad Max prequel that came out over the Memorial Day weekend?
This was the big blockbuster offering, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
To kick off the summer movie series.
If you didn't see it, you're not alone. The box office numbers, not very spectacular over the Memorial Day weekend. In fact, the worst in 30 years. So how do you fix this problem? Or can it be fixed? Joining us now on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline on Wisconsin's Morning News is on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
So is this a concern, or is it just a couple of bad movies this weekend?
It's a little bit of both, you know? I mean, it's not good to have the worst a weekend in over 30 years. And, you know, it hasn't been a very strong start to the summer period in terms of The Fall Guy underperformed, if the John Krasinski kids movie underperformed. But at the same time, this is kind of what people expected going into this summer, because we didn't really have the big blockbustery names that you expect to have. You didn't have the obvious giant tent poles because of the Hollywood strikes, because of the delays that happened because of that. So as a result, you didn't have the obvious Marvel movie to start the year. You didn't have, you know, the A-grade franchises that people are used to. You had The Fall Guy, which is basically an original action comedy starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, who've never really on their own drawn as movie stars. You have a Mad Max prequel, which even Fury Road, with massive hype, with Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy, with great trailers, with decades worth of buzz, even that movie only got $45 million its opening weekend and lost massively to Pitch Perfect 2 its opening weekend. So, you know, it's kind of been an odd start to the summer. And I think there was hope that with last year with Barbie and Oppenheimer doing so well, that audiences were going to go beyond superhero movies and sequels, that there was kind of an excitement about movies beyond those giant tentpoles. And this summer is proving that that's not the case, that those were maybe more exceptions versus the new rule of what audiences are excited to see.
Man, I think it's a separate question, too, isn't it, as to whether or not we'll continue to see great storytelling in the movies as we move on versus whether or not people will go physically to the theater to consume that content.
Yeah, it's a bummer because there's all this gloom and doom about, you know, Furiosa not doing well and The Fall Guy doing well. And these are good movies. Furiosa is a good movie. The Fall Guy is a good movie. It's just they're not playing to giant audiences right now. And there's lots of reasons for that. Part of that is, you know, training audiences away from going to the movies and more into streaming, as we've seen in recent years. Some of that is, you know, the price of movie tickets, which has gone up over recent years, and has continued to go up. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, what do people want to spend their money on? Do they want to watch something at home for air quotes free, or do they want to go and commit to see something in theaters? And again, you know, this is a Mad Max movie. No Mad Max movie has ever really been a juggernaut of a franchise. These are weird R-rated movies. So maybe expecting it to produce like a giant, like Oppenheimer, like Dune, was maybe a bad idea.
Well, does Gen Z go and see movies? I can't tell you the last time any of my children came up to me and said, "Hey, can you take me to a movie?"
They do. They see movies differently. You know, the famous quote is, you know, we used to go to the movies. Now people go to a movie. They want to see a particular movie. So, you know, Dune did great. Dune was seen by multiple generations. I mean, Barbie and Oppenheimer just last year did massive across all generations, including Gen Z. The Super Mario Brothers movie did really well amongst Gen Z. Five Nights at Freddy's last year did incredibly around Gen Z. I think they would like their own franchises too, you know? How many retreads of old franchises from the 80s and 70s and 90s are we going to give them? Why don't we give kids new franchises? There's a reason why Despicable Me and those movies do really well, and it's because that generation grew up with those movies. That's their franchise. They don't really want to see another Ghostbusters. They don't really want to see another Mad Max. Those franchises don't mean anything to them.
Good stuff. Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com. Always appreciate your perspective.
No, thanks for having me.
Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering, our guest on Brewers 360 at 7:45.
Scott Peterson returns to a courtroom today. Remember Scott Peterson?
Jerry said he killed his wife.
Mm-hmm. Lacey, she was pregnant at the time. Good-looking couple from California, Northern California-ish. She disappeared, and he was convicted. Well, a critical hearing set for today could allow his attempts to move forward, or it could stop the whole thing.
Today is a day that Scott Peterson's attorneys with the LA Innocence Project will try to convince a judge in Redwood City to retest DNA evidence in the case and test some evidence for the first time. They want 14 items tested, including mattress clippings from a burned-out van with human blood inside that was found down the street from the Peterson home. His attorneys argue the evidence will show Scott Peterson did not commit the crime so many years ago. It's up to the judge if DNA testing moves forward. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Peterson currently serving life in prison without the possibility of parole after he was convicted in 2002. Lacey's body surfaced along the shoreline in 2003 after Modesto police say Peterson took her body there aboard his boat and dumped it into the San Francisco Bay. That's the conviction. He has maintained his innocence. Remember, he had an affair, so there's another woman involved who had no idea he was even married.
Didn't come out looking like a good guy.
Right.
That's not, in and of itself, a reason to convict him of murdering his wife.
Of course.
But that was the backstory on that.
So, boy, if this moves forward and then some DNA evidence gets used, and could you imagine if this case gets moved back into the headlines? It was huge back in the day.
This news report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. At 7:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News, we just minutes ago had Matt Miller on from OnMilwaukee.com, the entertainment reporter there, talking about the future of the movies. I'm less concerned that we'll continue to see good content out of Hollywood as I am, like, don't want movie theaters to go away.
Right, I agree. Right? I don't want them to die either.
Matt made an interesting comment that stood out to me. He said, like, our generation, you and me, Gen Xers and boomers and whatever, would go to the movies. And he said Gen Zs, maybe some back-end millennials, they go to a movie. And the difference being, so if there's something that you really want to see and you want to see it on the big screen, you will go see that. What did we do on a Friday night?
You guys want to go to the movies today?
Yeah, what do you want to do? I don't know. See a movie. Okay, what's playing?
Yeah, what do we got?
Then we would look in the paper and see what was at West Point, what was at this thing, South Shore, wherever. And then you'd say, okay, well, we could see this, or we could see that. But we decided we were going to go to the movies.
Right.
And this group, according to Matt, and I would concur, doesn't do that. If there's something that draws them to the theater, they'll go, but they don't just sit around and say, let's go see a movie and we'll figure it out.
But I think that's all of us now to a certain extent.
Yeah, right.
Because us Gen Xers / post-Gen Xers are still, I think, willing to go to a movie, but aren't necessarily going to movies.
And some of it is the opportunity to see that type of content in streaming, not just the big blockbusters that then later come to Netflix or Max or whatever. But, you know, when I interviewed Alan Ruck, who played Cameron Fry in Ferris Bueller's Day Off when he was in town.
You like to drop that all the time.
my friend Alan Ruck tells me. No, but I asked him about that, and he just said streaming is where you go to tell these types of stories, like a Ferris Bueller, like rom-coms, like things like that. Like, that's now widely available in streaming shows, and you don't see that type of storytelling on the big screen as much anymore. It doesn't do as well in the theater as it once did, so a lot of factors work in there. 744, we've got, what do we got today? Levo. Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering coming up on Brewers 360. That's next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Milwaukee Admirals open a seven-game series against the Coachella Valley Firebirds tonight in the Calder Cup playoffs. They're on Pacific time, so a 9 p.m. puck drop for the ads tonight.
The Brewers fall to the Cubs in extra inning 6-3. They may have also lost their closer, Trevor McGill.
McGill's pitch. Line drive off of McGill. He can't find the baseball. He's in some pain. Racing around third is Vasquez. Nobody's there to pick it up, and Vasquez is going to score.
McGill is hurt. The Cubs would go on to win. McGill, no fracture, though, says manager Pat Murphy. Not sure yet what's going to happen there. Next up for the Brewers, same two teams, Cubs and Brewers tonight at American Family Field. We'll have it right here on WTMJ.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive, and on the line with us this morning, Brewers play-by-play man, Jeff Levering.
So, Jeff, the good news is that it's not fractured.
It ain't broken.
Yeah, that is really good news. If that was a fracture, you'd be out for a long, long time if you're Trevor McGill. But the fact that it's just a very heavy bruise, you can be very sore. I think he's going to show up at the ballpark today and see whether or not he can avoid an IL stint. That was pretty nasty yesterday.
You know what's amazing about that game is that the Brewers were no hit going into the eighth inning. We had that situation with McGill. Up until then, you thought it was a game they might win. Like, you thought they could steal it.
Yeah, you really did. And the Brewers could have won that ball game if it's not for Cody Bellinger making an unbelievable catch, robbing yet another home run from Willy Adames. It's the third time that someone's gone over the fence and brought a home run back against Willy Adames already this season. So you're looking at Willy having a game-tying home run in the seventh and then a potential game winner in the bottom of the ninth inning. But everything looked like it was trending in the right direction. Momentum was on the Brewers' side, but then the 10th inning happened and that line drive off of McGill and the wheels just kind of came off, unfortunately. But they scored a couple of runs and get a chance to get after him today against Shota Imanaga.
Hey, Levo, I was listening, not watching. So I was listening to the call yesterday. We had another situation, ended up not costing the Brewers, because Jared Koenig came in and cleaned up there in the sixth with bases loaded, I think. But Jackson Chourio let another ball drop in front of him. I think we talked about this a week or two ago. In your estimation, was this one more catchable than the previous? And is this just an 18-year-old or 19-year-old now, as he were, kid still figuring out how to play his position?
Yeah, I think so. And this was a much more catchable ball than the one in Miami. And time and place, ninth inning, you got an opportunity to go win a ball game. Go win a ball game. That's what happened in the game in Miami. Ended up tying the game, and the Brewers would end up losing in extra innings. But this one, Freddie Peralta's cruising right. It's a 1-0 ball game. The leadoff hitter in what ended up being Freddie's last inning. And again, time and place, a little blooper in the left, didn't get a good jump on it, and then just kind of pulled up instead of trying to make an effort for it. And you could see it on Freddie Peralta's face after the ball dropped. And I think Freddie, once he got pulled out of the ball game, because he left the bases loaded, Canning, as you mentioned, comes in and gets out of it. But there was a moment in the tunnel where Freddie Peralta and Jackson Churio started talking to each other. And it's teachable moments. And Pat Murphy talked about it the last time when the ball fell in Miami. You know, these are things that he's got to learn, and when to take risks and when to not take risks. We just want him to play more aggressively. And this was number two on Jackson Churio in the last week and a half. So hopefully he's learning from Quentin Berry and learning from the other guys that you can go and take a couple of risks.
I like that from Freddie, though. Like, get up in your guys' grill. Yeah. Hey, man, need you out there.
For sure. For sure. For sure. And that's what Freddie said. He said it in the post game too. He said, listen, you got paid before you even played one single major league ball game. That means you're a great baseball player. Go out there and show that you're great.
So Craig Counsell returns. How's that return been off the field? Has he been making the rounds? Is that exciting for some folks who've worked with him a long time, or is it just another day?
No, I think on Monday it was a zoo down there, and he didn't have an opportunity to really catch his breath at all. Yesterday was a little quieter, so I think he had an opportunity to catch up with some of his old coaches on the Brewers staff still. So I think it's a little bit more business as usual for now for Craig. Certainly not having 42,000 fans in the ballpark is helpful, but I think it's a little, it's a bit more comfortable now, I think, after the initial shock of game number one.
Nice to hear you back on the radio level. I mean, good of Brian Anderson to show back up for work.
The triumphant return, right? It was Craig Counsell and Brian Anderson Day all in the same time. No, it's good. Great to be back on the radio.
Tons of people swarming BA to talk to him when he returned.
Is it a 6:40 again tonight?
So true. Yeah, 6:40 tonight. We'll have the pregame show at 6:05.
Thanks, Level. Good to talk to you.
Likewise. Talk to you guys next week.
Idea Man.
NBA athletes to me, especially the wings, Giannis and LeBron, those cats are the best athletes in the world, in my opinion.
Innovator.
Can they go out and play 17 weeks when they have Fred Warner, Quay coming at him and drilling him? No, they don't want that life.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
But do they want to go through this life that NFL players have chosen? I don't think so.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
So, Tausch, the Scripps National Spelling Bee is underway.
Oh. How did you guys do in spell? Because you just said that, and I have two guttural reactions, and I can remember the words I got wrong.
Really?
I can't remember what I had for lunch 2 days ago. I can't remember what we did last weekend. But I can remember the two words I got wrong. And I think fifth and sixth grade, when we used to do spelling bees in front of our school. You'd walk up in front of the bleachers, you'd get the little skinny mic, and you'd go. And I'll never forget, I thought I had it. I was down to the final three, and I missed the word crescendo.
Ooh, that's a tough
and
one.
Ever since then, I hear that. It's a musical term. I know how to spell it now, but it still irritates me. And that word leaves a mark. So I didn't want to throw you off kilter there, Billstead, but that was one of those things. It's just, you said spelling bee and boom, that was my guttural reaction.
Well, boy, I don't know if I want to give you a couple of words or not. I don't want to cause any trouble today.
Well, did you guys ever do the spelling bee, and did you have anything similar? But yeah, I definitely want in on this spelling bee.
No, I never would have made it to the stage, Tausch. I was a terrible speller.
No.
You know what's odd is that I remember the name of the kid who won the fifth grade spelling bee. Yeah, I remember the word. He had to spell sausage.
What is it?
It was sausage, and he laughed out loud when he was given
that
word.
What's the kid's name?
That's Chad Brody.
Yeah, old Brody. Yeah.
Broadster. Broadster.
Anyway, so here we go.
All right.
So I'm going to use words that were given to our two Wisconsin contestants who are still in it,
still alive.
Nethra, she's a Forest Park middle schooler in Franklin. She's there. She advanced, and so did Aiden. He's from Middleton. So Spondy. Who wants to spell Spondy?
Spondy. What's the root? What is the root of that
word? I can give
you
the dictionary definition. Can I just do that for you?
You don't need the root. I'm going to try it. I'm assuming if I knew it was, you know, what the root was, then you
it's
could go
Dutch. I think
it's Dutch.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's perfect. Sweet. Spondee with one of those little deals on the top of it. Spondee.
Right. Let's see if that's accurate.
Spondee. Spondee. Spondee.
That is correct.
Very good.
Let's go.
Yes, nice. You and Aiden.
Let's go.
Page. All right, one more. Traino.
Oh. So this sounds like Drano, but that's too easy. So I'm going to go with a French version, Traino, T-R-A-N-E-A-U-X, Traino.
All right. Well, let's see what Nathra said.
Traino, T-R-A-I-N-E-A-U, Traino.
That is correct.
You're on the right track, though,
Tosh. Yeah, so it was too easy. Nobody is going to put Traino, T-R-A-I-N-O, in. But why no X? The French, that French New Orleans vibe has that X at the end of it.
Right.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, you were one for one. Not bad. Not bad. Hopefully these kids make it all the way through.
He's one for two.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
One for two.
One for two. Boy, I'm really good at them.
And I'm in no place to criticize. I'm 0 for whatever. Whatever. You could trot out 100 words and I get 94 of them wrong. I'm not kidding. Real bad. Stop the things
you do. Traino.
You just got my.
Now I'm going to be questioning my every word that has any French origin. I'm going to wonder why it doesn't have an X. This just put me back into sixth grade, middle school decrescendo spelling. So yeah, well, I appreciate that.
You're no Brody.
No, I am not.
See you, Tosh.
See ya. I know